Book Gang, welcome back to the show. As always, I just want to say thank you for being here. Whether you are folding your laundry today or walking the dog or just sneaking in a little bit of peace for yourself, I'm really, really glad that you press play on this episode. We have officially wrapped up our summer reading series, and I do want to say thank you to every single one of you who tuned in. If you've shared about the episode, I'm so grateful for the guests that came and shared their stories with us, their hearts. I'm really grateful for that. And to everyone who grabbed the 2025 summer reading guide, that was such a wonderful thing for you to do. And I especially have to say thank you to our amazing Patreon supporters who also unlocked 10 spoiler-packed bonus episodes this season. You are the reason that the show keeps going strong. If you're new here, hi, I'm Amy Ellen Clark, the voice behind the Book Gang podcast. This podcast celebrates debuts, backlist books, and under-the-radar book gems. And today, I'm excited to announce our next book club pick. We are going to be reading a very popular book called The Wedding People. This is a propulsive and quietly wise novel about a woman who recently is divorced and travels to a Rhode Island hotel and planning a stylish, if but final, escape, and instead finds herself mistaken for a wedding guest and gets wrapped up into all of the wedding fun and drama. What follows is really a tender exploration of grief, connection, and the surprising ways that strangers can help us start anew. If you love stories that mix heart and hope with just that right amount of melancholy, I think this one will be for you, but I do caution readers that you should definitely check the trigger warnings on this novel if you do not know what you are getting into, and make sure that it's a good fit for you in this season of your life. We will be discussing it live on August 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts on that one. Today also marks our return to the All-Star Book Influencer Series. These were conversations that were recorded months and months ago while we prepared our summer schedule. You'll hear references to upcoming releases that are now on store shelves and some cultural moments that may have since passed. We also are chatting about Rest in Stardust, which, you know, I said on there, I kind of anticipated picking for book club. And yes, we have. And it has since been confirmed that it is our September book club pick. And we will be enjoying that book with the author next month on our Zoom chats. If you're hungry for more twisty and immersive reads after today's chat, I do encourage you to check out this week's speculative fiction book list. I got a little crazy with this one. I typically pick on our book list, like 20 to 25 reads, but this one I did 41 fantastic titles. I could not stop. There were so many good ones that have come out. I also included all of Kate's favorites from this episode, and that list is live on the website now, and patrons have a printable version waiting for you, as always, in your inbox. Now let's meet today's guest. Kate Hergott is the host of Book Wild, a fiction podcast launched by the Book Wild Collective. On Tuesdays, she conducts compelling interviews with authors about their books and creative processes. On Fridays, she brings in vibrant chats with bookstagrammers and booktubers exploring bookish trends, mood reads, and mutual obsessions. She is also an Indiana girl like me, and we are so grateful to have found each other in this, you know, kind of crazy little niche community. And I'm really excited for you to hear her voice. Her podcast really concentrates wholly on thrillers, and that's why we've invited her to talk about mind-bending thrillers today. I really hope you enjoy this conversation, which I mentioned was pre-recorded last fall. Now let's get chatting. Welcome to the All-Star Book Influencer Series on the Book Gang Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Ellen Clark, and I'm beyond excited to share these special conversations with some of my favorite bookish voices that have shaped my reading journey. This series is all about celebrating the people who inspire us to explore new stories, revisit old favorites, and see literature through a different lens.
Whether you're here for debut discoveries, hidden gems, or beloved backlist reads, you will find that in today's show. If you love this show, please, please consider supporting my work through Patreon, which keeps our lights on here and covers the numerous costs for show production. It is only $5 a month. I promise you will get so, so much back on that investment. And of course, if you are on a budget, we just ask a really easy free way to support me is to leave a written review on iTunes. I am so grateful. Now today, I'm very excited to dive into today's conversation with one of my podcast pals. We have Kate from the Book Wild podcast. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. You were on the Book Wild podcast as well, and I had so much fun talking with you. So I'm so glad we're doing it again.
Yes. I will have to link to that episode because it was so fun to prepare for that one. And I got to pick some books that were thriller adjacent novels. So if you were looking for something that has like thriller threads, but is going to maybe give you another like mind-bending adventure, there are some really good ones on there, including Rust and Stardust, which I may be bringing back for our book club, which has a true crime slant to it. And I really encourage listeners to check that one out. First of all, because it is your first time here, I want you to tell us a little bit about your podcast, Book Wild. What inspired you to start this show, especially dedicated to the thriller genre? Mm-hmm. And what do you hope that you can bring to listeners with your episodes?
Yeah. So it's kind of been like a 4-year journey. I started a podcast basically like right during lockdown or as that was starting, called Between the Lines. And that was all author interviews. And so I listen to a lot of podcasts myself. And I love hearing interviews with like, whether it's writers or directors or screenwriters, like all of it. I just love hearing the like behind the scenes of how stories are created essentially. And so my husband and I, for our work, we basically produce podcasts for people. We also like create social media content, but we basically do that for other people. And I got to a point where I was like, wait a second, I have all this equipment that I could do this with. And I am like so interested in reading and the writers who write all these books that I love. And I was like, maybe I could have my own podcast. So at the time I reached out to, I think, 6 authors whose books I had recently read and loved. And at the time I had no clue, how many people were going to respond. I just like didn't even know. Like it seemed like maybe I would get one person back, and it actually was like the reverse. And I heard back from 5 people. And so I was like, well, I guess I'm starting a podcast with like this kind of response. So that's how Between the Lines started. And that went on for a while. Well, and it still is in spirit. You'll understand as I explain this a little bit more, but then I really got into the Bookstagram community. And so it's something where like I've been reading since I was like 3, like obsessively. I've always loved reading, but I hadn't like completely gotten into Bookstagram, like the huge community that it is, until I started Between the Lines. And so then I started making connections with other readers, other Bookstagrammers, and Gare Billings, who is Gare Indeed Reads on Instagram. He started messaging me. My second episode was with Ashley Winstead for In My Dreams, I Hold a Knife. And he and I were Ashley stans like from the beginning, like back when that was the only book she had out.
Same.
Not that I'm being competitive about that. It's just like, we both were like, oh, we are obsessed with this. So we talked about her a lot. And then we just kind of kept talking even more. And our DMs is sometimes called like a buddy podcast, is also the kind of podcast I listen to as well. So that's sometimes like, you'll see it a lot with comedy podcasts. There's one that I really love called Bad Friends, but the concept is like two typically friends just kind of like, I don't know if I can cuss, shooting the shit together. And I loved that idea too. And so Gare and I just started kind of kicking ideas back and forth, because actually Ashley Winstead and Jamie Lynn Hendricks connected us, because they both said to us, you guys get excited about thrillers the same way, you talk about thrillers the same way, like you guys need to meet. So we had kind of like built our relationship from there. And I was like, would you be interested in doing like a buddy podcast, basically. And he said, yeah. So that was, I think, in 2022, Killing the Tea is what we decided to call it. And we would just talk about all kinds of similar to like how this episode is about like mind-bending thrillers. We've done like Kindle Unlimited thrillers, You Should Read, Ensemble Cast, like all kinds of different genres. And we always do like kind of like each quarter, like we're about to record our winter thrillers that we're excited for. So we do like books we're excited about that are upcoming as well. So that one, that was just a lot of fun. It was really fun just like talking with a friend about books that we love so much. And we had a lot of fun with that. And then he had some health issues come up. He's talked about them. If you want to learn more, you can go to his page. But he had some health issues come up at the beginning of this year that made it hard for him to commit to it. And I was like, well, I don't want to stop doing that because I was enjoying having that format as well. And so for a while, like my YouTube channel had been like Book Wild was what it was, because I always loved the idea of eventually having different podcasts under a collective, like a Book Wild collective. So I was like, what if I merge author interviews and have multiple co-hosts for these fun bookish topics, buddy type episodes? So that happened, I think, in February or March of this year. I just merged them together because I love both of them so much. So on Tuesdays, there are author interviews. Most of the time, those are even coming out like on their pub date. So that happens pretty frequently when I can arrange it that way. And then on Fridays, I have the buddy episodes with some of my favorite Bookstagram friends and co-hosts. So that is what Book Wild has turned into.
It is a journey because you're saying that you had started it, you know, during lockdown. It's very interesting because I also started right around that time too. I think we were all looking for things to keep us busy, our brains busy during a difficult season. And I was like, you know, maybe a podcast might be a good avenue for me. So I love that your, you know, whole monopoly that you've got going here on the book world is starting from that place as well. And Gare and I actually have messaged back and forth about the health challenges that he had been facing. And I know he has talked about that. And I just can sympathize so much with both the challenges of trying to run a space when you are facing those kinds of hurdles, like brain fog and difficulty, you know, with just the craziness that can inhabit your body, but also needing those kinds of outlets in difficult seasons. So I love that you guys had that partnership, and I love how this is evolving for you and that you're able to marry all those different things.
Yeah. And he's in a place now where he was able to come back a couple of months ago. So he's typically on like twice a month again at this point. And I think that works well for his schedule too, because it is, I'm not saying anything against him. It is a big commitment to be part of a podcast every single week. So it's kind of worked out well where he's come back, but then it's like, it also leaves room for like me, like discovering another account and being like, oh, I want to talk to this person about like what they're doing on Bookstagram. So it's really found a really happy balance.
Good. Yeah. The world's your playground with this kind of balance. So I love that. Want to talk about thrillers because that is a specific slant that you have. Was there a particular book or a moment that you were like, other than Ashley Winstead, which I also understand, I will share that with you. She's been on the show as well, and we have celebrated her romance debut as well. I just think she's so talented at so many different things. But what made you a fan of this genre? Was it that book, or there were other books before that?
Yeah. So when I was in college, it would be my freshman year, so 2011, basically. It was also kind of like, that's like when I was discovering as an adult what I was going to be into reading, basically. And that was Gone Girl time. So I read Gone Girl when I was in college. I feel like this is a lot of people's answers, especially like around the like 30s to 40s age range. Yes. When we talk about thrillers that grabbed your attention at first. But I read that in college and I was like, okay, that is amazing. I need to find more books. Then shortly thereafter, I read The Kind Worth Killing by Peter Swanson, which to this day is my favorite Peter Swanson book. It is just so fantastic. And I love that, like, I get so locked into a thriller. That's like a big part of it. And it's probably because, like, I've talked recently about calling myself a pacing snob, but I know it's just preference too. So it's like, in terms of preference, I love things that keep going. And, similar to like some mysteries too, I like feeling like I'm kind of figuring something out as I'm reading it. I think it keeps me really locked in. And then actually part of why I even wanted to talk about mind-bending thrillers is like next to the next level, something that's like you're having to really pay attention to keep track of it all. It just grabs my attention and holds it so much. So that's kind of like, that's typically what I think of when I think of thrillers and like what I love about them. My sister-in-law reads like a lot of historical fiction or the occasional romance, but she was reading The Frozen River, and I can't remember the author right now because I didn't Ariel. Read it. Yeah, it's Ariel something. Yeah, and it's historical fiction, but it's also mystery thriller or like suspense. And she was like Marco Poloing me one day, and she was like, is this how you feel every time you're reading? She was like, I'm like, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? She's like, I don't want to go pick up my kids from school. Like, I have to know, like, how am I going to figure out what happens? I have to get to the end. And I was like, yes. That is how I feel. And I think that's like, that's part of the thrill for me.
Yes. I love that. And I also will speak, you know, to the pacing and like things like that. I am a very, like, I love a slow story mm-hmm. that's going to take like 700 pages to like wrap up. But from a content standpoint, not a great move, right? Because I can only like do one a quarter like that. Right. And definitely I'm usually not landing an author for an author interview. That's particularly like an experience that's just for me. But mm-hmm. I think thriller content and like just consuming thrillers, there's a reason why they are so popular, because it's so fun to just binge something in like 24 hours and move on to the next thing and have the space freed up. Even if they're like ones that you have to think about, you have mm-hmm. like more headspace to like play around with versus like the slow, the character driven, even though that's kind of my sweet spot. Yeah. I have a harder time getting into thrillers because I like want to be immersed for so long. Yeah. This is why I'm excited you're here, because you're going to give us some good ones.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's cool that everyone, or a lot of people, at least the people I talk to in the Bookstagram community, I love that we can all talk about how we just are still like attracted to different things in stories, but then and sometimes there's crossover, but like, it's okay that not every book's for everyone too.
Is there a particular trope that you like, or maybe even a trope that you're tired of?
Okay. Well, right off the bat, a trope that I don't know if I would like completely say I'm tired of. I think I hate it anytime it's in a book, and it's unfair, but like, I hate when the twist is just that like their boyfriend or their significant other or their partner was basically the one doing the bad things all along. I can't give you a good reason why, and there are plenty of people that probably do like it, but for some reason, to me, when I get to the end of it, it just feels lazy. So there's that. No hate to anyone who has written that before, but that's one that like makes me roll my eyes when I get to the end normally. Tropes that I love, though, one that I kind of recently discovered, I read Fatal Intrusion by Isabella Maldonado and Jeffrey Deaver. They are so fun to talk with, by the way. So if you're ever just like dying for some fun co-authors to talk to, they're just, the interview I got to do with them was so much fun. Jeffrey just has like the driest humor. And I think I love dry / he's not British, but he has almost British humor. But in that book, we have this like badass, I can't remember exactly, badass like agent of the law. I think she's related to Homeland Security in this one, who has like, you know, goes to the shooting range and like has all of those sweet skills. And then she kind of begrudgingly gets paired up with this nerdy professor who knows a lot about intrusion from a like online standpoint, or like just the way that people will try to steal information from you or change information and stuff. So they need him for this specific series of murders that they're solving. She's forced to work with him. And it made me realize that I like actually really like the trope of like a badass female and the like bumbling but sweet male. Like, I really love when the female is like the one who's like, get down, I'll protect you. And he's just like, oh my gosh, what's happening?
That's
one that lately I'm like, yep, I really like that one. Otherwise, female rage really works for me, and revenge in general always works for me.
Okay, I'm with you on the female rage thing to a degree, unless it gets too tropey, and then I'm like, okay, we have become too much. I will say the one trope that I cannot stand, even though no one asked for this, I just really, really hate the drunk narrator, like the one, she's been drinking too much, and like that's the reason why, or like popping pills, and like you're supposed to like... It's like, get it together. Like, I don't want to read like this. I'm tired of that trope in particular. Mm-hmm. And I find like those kinds of books just don't hit my sweet spot. There was a time where, you know, I do think regarding Gone Girl, we were all looking for that next hit and like that unreliable narrator. But I think it takes a really distinct and new lens to tell that kind of story in a way that won't just land in a 3-star stack.
Yes. And speaking of, that makes me excited because I have a recommendation that plays with memory without using drugs and alcohol. The character does have her shit together, basically, but it plays with a narrator without using that.
Okay. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to ask you if you have any upcoming thrillers that you are very excited about in the year ahead that people might not have on their radar just yet.
Yes. So I am very excited for Trust Issues by Elizabeth McCullough Keenan and Greg Wands. They were our E.G. Scott. They were a writing duo, and now they're publishing under like their real names, but writing it together. Very excited for that one. That one is all about a con man and how these two siblings kind of get ensnared and figure out what's going on. That one comes out in January of 2025. So I'm super excited for that one. There is one called The Close-Up by Pip Drysdale that comes out December 3rd. And it is about basically a woman who moves to LA because she wants to pursue becoming a writer, but everything keeps failing. She's like not getting the jobs that she wants. And so then some of the things that she's written in her novels start happening to her. And she's like, okay, who is out to get me? Essentially, Hollywood thrillers are always like, I'm a sucker for a Hollywood thriller. Like, granted, just like anything, not all of them land, but when it's like really fun that way, I just love it. And then there is Cross My Heart by Megan Collins, comes out in January of 2025. I almost said 2015, but this one has a really unique plot because this woman needs a heart transplant. She gets a heart transplant and then slowly becomes obsessed with the husband of the woman whose heart she now has. Yeah, so she gets obsessed. It has stalker vibes. I was telling her it reminded me. I was like, I haven't read it yet, but I was like, this sounds like, I don't know if you saw the movie Return to Me back in like the early 2000s, maybe. Might even be late 90s. But I'm like, this sounds like that, but like way darker. So I'm super excited. There are tons more that I'm excited, but there are three.
Okay. I'm glad you narrowed it down because we're going to be overwhelmed if we have any more books than that to look forward to. But
yes.
I'm really excited that you are giving us like a little bit of a sneak peek into what's in your NetGalley shelf. Is that how you track your upcoming reads then in NetGalley?
Most, I guess, in some ways, like everything's still in my Goodreads too, like my TB, like to be read shelf there as well. And I use Storygraph as well. But these are like the ones that I know I'm going to be reading for sure, since they are in NetGalley. So yeah, it definitely, I'm finally caught up until mid-December on my NetGalley. So I've been working in some backlist like currently. But yeah, in general, it's like I'm always checking NetGalley to see like, okay, which ones should I be reading this month and what else can I fit in?
I am so bad at requesting and then never fulfilling. So I'm like, have like a 0% rating. I don't have 0%, but I'm very bad. I will request a whole bunch of stuff and then never get to it. And then a year later, pick it back up. And so I'm impressed with anyone who's staying on top of it. I want to know maybe just a little bit, because, you know, I'm curious from a business side of things, what does content creation look like for you then? How are you organizing and deciding and determining what's going to be moving on your shows?
Yeah. So that's another reason that like I do keep my NetGalley percentage up high, because that's a lot of how I am discovering who I'm going to have in the future for like the Tuesday episodes, especially. Obviously there's some I read that aren't for me, but then I really try to read, I'm trying to read. So like, if there's a book coming out in December, then like I'm wanting to be reading it like at the beginning of November so that I can know what my thoughts are about it. And if I want to reach out to the author to see if they'd be interested in doing an interview. And lately that has just been working really well. I also, there are a couple of publicists who will send me Megan Beatty Communications, I think recently. I think it's Communications. I've really developed a relationship with them. And so they'll send me their like catalog for the quarter. And they'll ask if there's like anyone, any of the books I'm interested in. And if I want any of the authors, if I want to interview any of the authors. So I have a really cool working relationship with them. And that just helps me a lot too. Cause like they are like, oh, we know you like thrillers and mystery, and here's what we have coming up with that. Like they connected me with Danielle Trussoni here recently with the Puzzle Box. So that was really cool. So it's kind of a mixture of me like looking at NetGalley and being like, what like seems interesting to me here. And then also like if you're active on NetGalley, also publicists will just email you directly. So that's how I have like I'm caught up in general right now on NetGalley, but I have like 20 books in my shelf because like, I've already been pitched a bunch kind of going into like May of next year. So it's like now I do kind of know like at least some of these are going to be what I'm going to be like doing next year as well. And then with my co-host, it's just kind of like we kind of like throw ideas back and forth, get stuff on the schedule. If someone has like a really good idea for a topic, we'll like text each other and be like, let's do this. And then we coordinate that. So I like having my co-host ones, like I like being kind of like 2 weeks ahead, but when life happens, sometimes you're not, but that's mostly how I do it.
I know this is kind of, I don't know if it's a weird question to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyways. So my struggle with hosting someone with a thriller is obviously there are red herrings, there's plot twists, there's things that are happening. And to preserve the mystery of that for a reader and still have enough content to talk about that book without spoiling it for someone. Do you struggle with that? How do you build a conversation and keep the magic alive for thriller readers?
Yeah. So when I started, I would do a non-spoiler section and then shift into a spoiler section, so that then I could even talk about some of the spoilers that I wanted to talk about. Then I ran into a couple authors, and it wasn't even a lot. Most of them really kind of enjoyed getting to still talk about the spoilery stuff. But there are a couple who are like, I will not talk about it at all. So then I kind of shifted out of going into it. I'm always debating what to do there because I've also been reaching out to directors. I had my first director, a writer director, Damien, who wrote and directed Oddity here recently. And that was one where like, you're just going to have to start talking about spoilers with movies is what I really realized. So anyway, I use that format, but you're right. Now in most cases, I'm trying to just give the interview without the spoilers. And so a couple of things about those episodes, if I haven't interviewed the author, I always want to know like, what was their moment that was like, I think I'm going to try to write a book, or the moment where they were like, I think I want to be a writer. I think I want to be an author. So I asked them about that. And then I also asked about their writing process. If they're a repeat guest, it's still like a lot of authors feel like every book is different. So there's so much to talk about, even just in like, so how did you write this book? What was the inspiration for it? And then I love this question that you brought up, honestly, because the truth of it is sometimes a like very popcorn thriller might be hard to like really talk about. So it is something where like for me, and you mentioned how you like character driven recently. I also really love a character, like you can have character driven and fast paced in a thriller. And so with those things, typically there's still stuff to talk about that's not going to give away the story. Like there's stuff to kind of talk about, like your character was overcoming this, like how did you approach that in this context? And then also thrillers that just like touch on some like philosophical themes or social themes. Like those are the things that we can typically still talk about and it doesn't give anything away.
Yeah, that is such a good point. You know, one of the things that I had really struggled with in the past was how do I balance this for someone where I do get to keep that mystery aspect alive? And we did move our spoiler-filled episodes to Patreon. So like you get the main episode and then later you can like dive into the second part where we're like, okay, tell us all about your ending, right? And we hosted like mother-daughter murder night and like Swipe and Rob Hart on the show. And it was so fun because the meat of those stories really was getting to discover like what happened at the end. And the way that people light up, typically, I know you said there were a couple of people that are not like sharing their like proprietary information, but for the most part, people get really excited because most of the time when they are on a circuit, they're not allowed to really talk about it. I think that genre and also romance can be a little tricky because at least with romance, most of the time you are obviously going to get that happily ever after. Yeah. But because the stories have thinner, you know, like research or development or, you know, ways that you can really, really dive deep into something. I have always been curious from a content standpoint, what that might look like to like create that for people.
Yeah. Yeah. I love when there's like social commentary included and stuff too. And I just talked with, it's also fun when you're talking to like writing duos, there's even just the sheer fact that you have two people. There's just more to talk about as well, even just from that. So as we're recording, the day that we're recording, the episode that just came out for Book Wild today is with writing duo Catherine Green from The Lake of Lost Girls. And so they're like two very different personalities who became friends online in a writing group. And like one lives in the UK and one lives in the US. And this is like the second thriller they've written together. And they've only been in person a couple times. So even just like talking about that is like really fun to hear about. So it's like, yeah, you kind of can find some different angles. And they did like some really cool stuff with mixed media. So you can kind of talk about, you know, like how did you decide what to include? And so then you're still spoiler safe.
I love a mixed media experience. Kate, I'm excited to get to the meat of our topic. I am so glad that everybody got to know you so they know and can trust that you're going to take us on a great adventure with mind-bending thrillers. I asked Kate to bring five of her favorite thrillers, and the mystery is alive for me because I actually don't know what Kate's doing today. So this is going to be so much fun, and I hope that I've read even one of your books.
Yes. Yeah. You want me to go ahead with my first one?
Yeah.
So the first one that came to mind when I told you mind-bending thrillers is what, or mind-bending books in general, was Recursion by Blake Crouch. I'm a huge Blake Crouch fan in general, but I do feel like this one like bends your mind the most. So for a short synopsis of it, NYPD detective Barry Sutton investigates false memory syndrome, a mysterious condition causing people to recall vivid memories of lives they never lived. Neuroscientist Helena Smith, meanwhile, is developing technology to preserve memories, hoping to let people relive their most cherished moments. As Barry and Helena's paths cross, they confront a force that distorts reality itself, unraveling time and threatening the fabric of existence. Together, they must battle against a reality that is collapsing, with only their combined efforts standing between humanity and chaos. It's wild. This doesn't totally show it. I don't think it's a spoiler, though, to say that it's getting into multiple timelines is basically what starts to happen. And I was just hooked the whole time.
Blake Crouch is amazing. He is such a great gateway, like, drug to sci-fi, too, because yes. If readers are intimidated by the genre or think that it might be too sciencey and not ready to necessarily pursue it, I think he's such a great example of someone that you can share a book experience with that would typically not gravitate towards those kinds of stories. This is mm-hmm. the book that I shared with my husband when the two of nice. Us read together. I do love Blake Crouch, and you know, readers may also be more familiar with Dark Matter too, which is another mm-hmm. one of his books that got such big commercial success. And I believe it became a TV show, right?
Yes, Apple TV. I still haven't gotten to it, and I really want to.
You're too busy reading. You yes. don't have time for all of the other stuff. I love this. And one of the things that we did on our site is I was determined that I was going to have like the time travel monopoly, like where you end up going into someone's website and you're like, oh, they also have this. So I did alternate lives, parallel lives, time travel forward, time travel backward. And then yes. we also did time travel TV and movies. So if you were looking for things about time travel or alternate lives or parallel lives or anything like that, you'll definitely find some of Blake's books on our list because it is a staple, I think, of those types of genres.
Yes, totally. He's the best. I love him. I love his stories.
Well, what do you have for us for book two, Kate?
So I have The Mechanics of Memory by Audre Lee. It just came out a few months ago. This one's also about memory, in case you couldn't tell from the title. But memory reconstruction is at the core of Copeland Stark's business. Yet Hope Nakano's treatments there have failed to recover her memories of a lost year or her relationship with her great love, Luke. Each session brings fragmented memories, leading Hope to question what she remembers, especially about Luke. As she uncovers inconsistencies, her search reveals a deeper hidden truth that Copeland Stark will do anything to protect, but Hope herself holds secrets that could change everything. This one has like just such cool like psych ward vibes almost, except like it's that you've completely lost your memory and she doesn't know who she can trust. And so like the readers just keep learning more and more the longer they read.
Psych ward vibes, who could not get yep. into that, unless you don't want to go there for right. sure. But yeah, have you read any of her other books before? Or is this
was her debut.
Oh, I always yeah. have a good debut.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's really cool. I've interacted with her a little bit since I ended up posting about it.
Well, I'm excited to check that one out. And it yeah. is not one that was on my radar at all. So I'm glad you brought yeah. something that people might not be aware of. And we do love to celebrate a good debut.
Yes, me too. I love finding that's like kind of the cool part of like being a part of NetGalley too. I feel like you end up finding more debuts that way too.
You get to be the tastemaker over there.
Yeah, for sure. My next one, I think this is not his debut. It's his second one. But it's a book called The Man Who Saw Seconds by Alexander Baldassare. Preble Jefferson has the rare ability to see 5 seconds into the future, an otherwise ordinary life turned upside down after he dodges a bullet in a subway confrontation, causing another man's death. His talent catches the attention of government agencies eager to exploit it for military use, sparking a relentless manhunt. Preble's desperation to protect his family pushes him into dangerous territory, forcing him to confront the cost of his gift and the limits of his humanity. This one explores the nature of time, human consciousness, and the clash between personal freedom and institutional power. So there is just thematically, there's so much going on, and it really makes you feel torn about how much we need government, and then how quickly government can get scary.
So this might fall under social horror then, would you say?
Probably. Yeah. It's more action than horror. Oh, probably more speculative fiction, I think would probably be some of what it is too, because it's a little bit in the future. But yeah, it's a little more action than horror, but definitely looking at society through the action.
Ooh, I have not heard anything about this one. Yeah. And that is like all of the things that I would love to explore. You know, I'm thinking about other books like that. Maybe Vox might be a good example of like, mm-hmm. you know, how women's voices are taken away mm-hmm. and any kind of like Handmaid's Tale and things like that. I love mm-hmm. all those kinds of themes. So the role yeah. of government within our lives obviously is a contention point right now mm-hmm. and has been, you know, not that we're the only era or decade to experience that, but it certainly mm-hmm. feels heightened right now. When Kate and I are recording, it's election yes. day and yeah. we are getting our scaries out right now.
Just talking about books, the best we can do.
Yeah. And then we have to like go read something in a yes. different world at a different time to get out yes. of it.
Yeah. And another note, Alexander is such a cool guy, the author, and I did interview him. So there's also an interview about this one. He was really very fun to talk with.
I'm excited to check yeah. this one out, and we'll definitely link up to your podcast mm-hmm. interview as well.
Yeah. My next one is a little bit more domestic suspense, but it is also speculative fiction. It's called The Prediction by Faith Gardner. And it's about Rowena Snyder, a New Yorker struggling with suburban life in Silicon Valley, who faces worsening anxiety and depression after moving into her husband Jacob's childhood home with their newborn. Concerned for her well-being, Jacob introduces her to Maxine, a beta-tested digital friend designed to offer support and make predictions based on personal data. At first, Maxine's insights feel like a lifeline, proving astonishingly accurate in its predictions. But as the forecasts take a darker turn, Rowena realizes that Maxine's warnings may reveal unsettling truths that could alter her life forever when it warns her that her husband is going to kill her. This one is so cool because it has like some of the, if you like Black Mirror, this is all a part of a series she does that is standalones, but it's all people who work at the same tech company, basically, or are adjacent to it. So she's written a bunch of different thrillers around that company, essentially. Very Black Mirror-esque, like what are the consequences of having technology in our homes? But the other thing that I thought was really cool is that she uses the way that like an algorithm would build out predictions and how it could also be wrong with how we also do. So like when you have anxiety, you're also taking all this information and thinking like all of this information I have can only lead to this and you could be wrong. So I loved that she used technology to like look at technology and the dangers, but also the fact that like our own brains are dangers to ourselves sometimes too.
This one might be the one I'm most excited about that you're bringing yeah. because I am such a sucker for Black Mirror, for anything mm-hmm. that kind of sits in that domain. And, you know, tech thrillers especially are like one of the things that I love the most. Yes. And I cannot wait to check this one out.
Yeah. She self-published for a while. So she has a lot of books out. Like she's a badass with how much she puts out. So like if you end up loving hers, then there are a bunch more that you can read as well that are even in that same universe, essentially.
Love it when people self-publish. Are these like on Kindle Unlimited? Is that how
yes, you're most of them are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ooh, I'm excited.
Most, if not all. I think she had a new one come out that is more like something bad happened when they were in high school and now it's coming back to haunt someone in the future. And so I don't think that one's as techie. So I can't remember if that one's on Kindle Unlimited, but all of these like Black Mirror ones are on Kindle Unlimited.
Okay. Well, that gives us something to really dive into after this yes. show.
Yes. My next one, you and I have talked about him a lot on the episode you were with me and you've even already brought him up, but The Paradox Hotel by Rob Hart is still one of my all-time favorites. Like I loved Assassins Anonymous too, like truly loved it. But The Paradox Hotel just had so many things that I loved in it. So it is about January Cole, who works security at an exclusive time travel hotel where wealthy guests arrive dressed for journeys to various eras. Her job takes a dark turn when she discovers a corpse in room 526, but it's a body that only she can see. As powerful figures gather to bid on the soon-to-be privatized time travel technology, mysterious accidents begin targeting the guests. January's unique ability to glimpse beyond the ordinary sight makes her the only one capable of stopping a killer who operates both in plain sight and invisibly. But as her perception of reality unravels, she's forced to face the hotel's secrets and her own. And this one, per usual, like Rob, has like lots of social commentary worked into it, as well as like kind of the like how it's soon to be privatized time travel, like kind of looking at government versus publicly owned stuff, like all of that's in there too. But it's like a mystery because she's trying to solve a murder that hasn't happened yet. Technically, she's like seeing it in the future. It has like all this action. It has time travel going on. And then like what he just always does so well too is like every single character feels completely real. And you get so connected to the characters. And without giving anything away, this one has a really sweet is the word kind of coming to mind, contemplation on grief. And kind of how, now I'm thinking of WandaVision, but like, what is grief but love, like living on, essentially. And there's a really cool element of that in this book too. So there's just a range of stuff going on.
I believe this one may have been up for or won a Lambda Award as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I could see that.
I will say, just speaking to the author, I truly think he is one of the most sincere people yes. that I have ever encountered in the book world. Simply magical. I just think his heart really comes through, and he's not picking social justice themes to be performative. These things are important to him. He uses his own experiences to weave in, mental health aspects and things that we don't often talk about. He uses through his writing. And, you know, I have loved him for a really long time, but getting to have him this summer and to talk to him and hear the sincerity behind the work amplified my love for his writing, because I'm like, there truly is no one more authentic in what they're trying to pursue, and also unwilling at times to bend to what might fit into a box of a genre, right? You couldn't put that necessarily in just a thriller. It could go into a whole wheelhouse of books, but he's committed to not necessarily making a quote commercial hit just to like compromise for other people.
Yeah. Yes. I agree with all of that. I love the way he includes a lot of stuff that doesn't feel performative. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I will say my top tier book from him is Assassins Anonymous, which if people have not picked that up, it's so good. And after you finish it, you will want to be in the Patreon because you will want to hear him explain.
Yes.
And it was surprising to me why some of those plot twists happen in that story and the motive behind that. It's worth it. It's worth the five bucks just to access that one spoiler episode, honestly.
Yes, I believe it. Cause it's like, honestly, it's probably tied. Like, it's probably Paradox Hotel and then Assassin's Anonymous. I loved both of them. And I'm so excited for the Medusa Project. I think that's what it's called. The covers are so beautiful.
He writes so much, he couldn't tell me definitively how many books he had because he's on and attached to so many projects. But yeah, he's amazing. And I can't think of anyone else better to like end our time with.
Yeah, because he's even doing a project with the writer of Manifest. I've been noticing the same thing. I'm like, this dude's just writing with everyone. He's writing by himself, and I will take it. I'm here for all of it.
Well, Kate, this was amazing. I so appreciate you. I am so excited to check out these books. I really am going to reserve right after we get done here so I can get to reading. I need some escapes, especially today. Yes. But I just want to say thank you for being a part of this book influencer series. I feel so lucky and I loved this episode. I hope these insights and bookish stories have left you all feeling inspired and excited for your next read. Remember, in the show notes, we'll have all of these books linked, but I will also do a book list with Kate's picks. I'm going to throw in some of my favorites too. And we will also link to all of Kate's social channels that she's involved with. And if you would like to continue to keep me on air, the best way to do so is to, of course, join our Patreon. I'd be grateful. And I do want to say a special shout out to all of the patrons who keep funding this project as it evolves. Like, I know you've signed up for something. You're not even sure what you're going to get. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And thank you, Kate.
Yeah, thank you. I loved this.